الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى ولا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة وقال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم الزنا العين النذر أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام وصدق الله وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Getting on with our talk of yesterday, we discussed two major causes which lead a person towards sin and towards this terrible sin of committing adultery, fornication, etc. One is the food that we eat, we have to check, and one is our mindset, which is made by our education, our environment, newspapers, magazines, billboards, and TVs, etc. All this without realizing, it encourages and takes a person towards that. It is narrated also, al-ghina, ruqiyatu zina, that music is the stepping stone towards adultery. So listening of music. So don't take the little music ringing tone on the cell phone as something small. Our Shaykh Da'amat Barakatum says that when we are eating anything and a fly comes and it takes little, that little will be so much it will collect it to make a hotel. The fly can then run a hotel also. And more than that, it will collect so much and run a motel also. So this little, every time listening to the cell phone, it has got an effect on a person. And as we had mentioned also sometime, that one of the principles of advertisement is, the advert is not long, but it comes repeatedly. And this sets in a person's mind. So this listening to the cell phone, any other music also wherever, if a person is listening to music, and what we should be careful of nowadays, this nasheeds and nazams that come with a musical sound. Though, just like photography, let us not be fooled. Though it is not produced as photography, digital photography, etc., it's not the original form of an artist, etc., all that. The same way with this music on the nasheeds, though it is not produced as music, but the result of it is music. The same thing with this photography, the result of it is photography, and that is what is haram. For what is made haram in Sharia is not how it's produced, the result of it, that is what is haram. So whether it is photography, whether it is this musical music on nasheeds, etc., we should be very, very careful about these things. We don't realize, but this then the desire comes in a person. And a person many times curses himself, hates himself. Why have I got this such a desire for this guna? But what we bring it upon ourselves with these things. So we should be careful about that. About adultery itself, Allah tabaruk wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Do not even go near zina. So it is such a terrible thing that Allah didn't say, let la taznu, do not commit adultery. Allah, what is made haram is all the things that take a person even close to you. Whether it is talking to the person, whether it is looking for a phone number, whether it is going on the mixit and trying to speak to a lady, etc. All these things, all that is also totally haram. Looking in the newspaper, even you haven't got an intention, just let's see what things are advertised in the newspaper. All that is also haram. Without you realizing, these things will draw you. Allah has made haram the things that go even closer towards zina. And one of the major things which the Quran itself has made tafsir of this ayat, that وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, that your gazes also guard them, this is also totally haram. What if a thing is haram, and the thing that leads to it, it's mawquf alay, is also haram. Like for example, adultery is haram. All the things that lead to it are also equally totally haram. So the gazes of a person, this also, and this, as our Shaykh Da'amat Barakatum says, Allah is Arhamur Rahimeen. Allah didn't want his banda to become parishan, worried, etc., thinking, planning, and now when he's planning that I might be caught out, somebody might see me, that worry he has in him. Then today, how many diseases are associated with this guna also? That again, Allah saved us from that and cut it from the root, and Allah said, don't even look because it starts from here. In Bukhari Sharif, Allah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and there is the hadith of Bukhari Sharif, zina al-ayn an-nadar, the zina of the eyes, the adultery of the eyes is looking. So when a person has looked with a lustful gaze, already he is a committed adultery. It's adultery of the eyes, which comes in the hadith that the eyes commit adultery, the tongue commit adultery, the hands commit adultery, and finally the private parts testify to it. When a person unfortunately reads to that stage, then the private parts testify. They just put the signature to it all. All the preparation was made by all the parts of the body. The mind commits adultery, hands, legs commit adultery, and there is all adultery. And actually, according to Arabic grammar, there should have been a nazar zina al-ayn. Eyes is the zina of the eyes. Looking is the zina of the eyes. But Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was the most, the Arabic literature master of it was Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He first said zina al-ayn, because zina, the word, we don't even like to use it. We don't like to hear the word also. We would rather prefer use some other word. Indicate to it, don't even use that word. But Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used it right at the beginning, so that you tremble, you fear, that even just looking, this is also adultery, this is also zina, let me stay away from it completely. How much Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also cared for us. And this is such a guna that Allah didn't want to even tell us directly. Allah also, so to say, Allah felt shy. Like for example, a father knows that his son is doing wrong things in this way. The father also feels, how must I speak to my son? How must I tell him? And especially if the son is a namazi, he goes khanka, he goes jamaat, and he's still doing all this also, the father doesn't know how to say. So the father tells one of his friends, you explain to my son. I don't know how to approach the subject, you tell him. So Allah Ta'ala didn't tell us directly. Allah told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you tell my bandas, what are they doing? Tell them to guard their gazes. This year I can't tolerate them doing this. This is such a terrible thing. In view of my beauty, in view of my mercy, in view of my kindness, my favors on them, and they're still looking at somebody else. Where I told them not to look, so please tell them not to look. And as we mentioned, this is that place, one of the few or perhaps the only place that where Allah Ta'ala told specifically to the ladies also, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. They also must guard their gazes. And this is not only from this haram, our gazes. In another place, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَّعْنَا بِهِ. And even what we have given the kuffar of this dunya, don't look at your eyes and don't list for that what we have given them. That lalchi nazar se unko bhi mat dekho, that they have got this, they have got that. Don't. You keep your eyes on akhirat. What Allah has got for you, you keep your eyes there. And this guna, further with it, what is another cause also, always it was in history till today, that man would always be the one who is forward, who makes the approaches. But unfortunately, we have landed in such a zamana where a shaitan has used his agents, and women today go forward. And they make approaches, and they make advances towards men, which was not a thing always. A woman was always shy. But even so, Allah Ta'ala told the woman, and especially the family of Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala said to them, and there is an instruction for all the believing women, وَلَا تَغْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ. And do not even speak softly and with a nice tone. فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ. Yeah, again it shows that the one who has got a disease in his heart, who is sick in his heart, who has got a sick mind, when that person will listen to your soft tone, your nice tone, and some people like a musical, there are some women, and a person who hasn't even got any idea, the way they'll say hello, so hello, what will happen to the poor person? Hey, a person who doesn't even have an idea, But this is how they make hello. And girls are trained like that. When they become secretaries, etc., they are trained to speak. They go for speech therapy, and they are trained like that. And unfortunately, how sad, how many of our Muslim girls also, they also taught like that, and they are taught, you must, don't lose the customer. You must speak nicely to the customer, speak sweetly to the customer. And yeah, they are also trained further. The secretaries and that, when they want to speak to you, they'll put your face right in your face. They'll come right next to you, and they will be so close to you, you can feel their body heat already. So close they will come and they will speak. Well, for what was it necessary? But there is a thing which these people want to exploit, this whole situation, which is where there is natural desires. And all this they have done, that we must get involved in all these things while they rule over us. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali used to say, first they used to send their women to spoil the Muslim man. But now the stage has been reached, they don't even have to send their women. They have spoiled the Muslim woman to this extent that Muslim women are spoiling Muslim men also. And Muslim men spoil Muslim women also. They don't even have to send any of their women, etc., to come and spoil us. So a person has to be on his very guard on this. There is one basic guna which destroyed many people. And many people who are religious, who are learned people, who are teaching in Darul Ulooms, but this guna of lust never let them reach their destination. And especially for the ulama, especially in a Darul Ulooms situation, where they are all male students, they staying together, the guna of homosexuality can become very common. If a person is not particular about this, therefore our sheikh, he speaks very openly on this in the Darul Ulooms, where this is also, and what is happening in the church, which is in the newspapers today. All the priests and all, how much aren't they caught out for these things? And what humiliation doesn't it bring? How a person has to be careful about these things. So this there is a common thing. And many a person who in deeni matters also, learned people, they have advanced so tremendously, but this thing cuts them right down and destroys them. And a person can't come out of this until he doesn't treat this disease. Whether it is starting with the looking of the eyes, don't think it's a small thing. And don't think it's to enjoy. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, some people, shaitan, deceives them to this extent. They look at all this naked woman, whether it's on TV or like that also, and they tell Maulana, just see what zamana has come. How those women are dressing. Now poor Maulana also, you inviting him to guna. You are in guna yourself, and now you're inviting Maulana also. Or you come and tell Maulana, you know, today how the woman dressed like that. Now you start visualizing all that. All these things, Maulana Muhammad Ilyas, Rahmatullah Ali said, which thing you want to cut out, don't talk about it. Leave it out. And what you want to bring alive, talk about that. But that is the basic rule. But there are certain occasions when these things have to be spoken about also, when they are going so much out of hand. And this is one common guna which the ummah generally is involved in. It starts with the eyes, it starts with be pardagi. We don't make parda from a woman, whether it is the family woman also who we have to make parda from. And how many people get caught in these things, get caught up in these things also. So therefore, we have to look after our eyes very, very much. In the hadith of Mishkat Sharif, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ النَّاظِرُ وَالْمَنْزُورُ إِلَيْهِ Allah Ta'ala's curses be, Huzur Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has made baddua. Otherwise, we know Huzur Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is embodiment of mercy and rahmat. But he has made curses, and he says the curses of Allah falls on that person who looks at woman. And when Allah's curses are falling, what does curse, la'anat means? La'anat is the opposite of rahmat. That means Allah's rahmat is not on that person. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, that is the worst moments of a person when a person is in guna. When a person is looking at another woman, he might be enjoying, but he's under the fire of Allah's anger and wrath. Allah's anger and wrath of fire is pouring down upon him, and he's laughing, and he's enjoying. Can there be a greater idiot, a greater stupid than that person? But this is how Shaitan makes us. He gets us caught, we are looking at this woman, etc. And in that case, hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And no alim can deny and say it's a weak hadith or anything. That Allah's curses are pouring down upon that person. And then we say, we wonder why my life is not going right. Why I'm having problems at home. Why my financial problems? Why this problem? When Allah's curses are upon a person. And similarly, these curses are for that person who shows himself. A woman who is not in parda. Allah's curses are falling. And our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, when you see somebody looking at a woman, anyone who is in any guna, don't even look there. Because when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed those places where Allah's azab came, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, move fast from here. Don't even be anywhere near. Allah's azab is coming down. So those women who are not dressed properly, whether they non-Muslim women or Muslim women who are not in parda, Allah's curses are coming. They are in the azab of Allah Ta'ala. And we are looking at them. And we also then come in the azab of Allah Ta'ala when we look. So therefore, this is a terrible guna which destroys a person completely. Then he is not fit for, he is not left fit for anything after that. And when a, the woman also are warned that, and why are they warned? That, also Allah didn't say they'll commit the guna now. They'll talk like that. فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ. That person will have tama now, will have lalach now, that this woman is an easy fish. You can get her easily. She's an easy catch this year, because from her talk, but let be never deceived by voice also. Usually when the voice is so sweet, the looks are opposite also. So don't ever think that this voice is so nice, so this is an easy catch here, you'll run for life. And how you'll run from there, how Mullah Nasiruddin one day read in a book that if you put ammonia at the back of a donkey, the donkey runs at a speed. So he said, let me try it out. He put ammonia at the back part of the donkey, and the donkey, who is a very lazy animal, and who just stands, no matter how you hit the donkey, it doesn't move, it doesn't, but the donkey started running like mad. So then he thought, let me try it on myself also. So he put some by his back also. And he started running like no man's business. All around the house, out of the house, in the garden, in the yard, in and out. So I've got a shock. What's happened to Mullah today, my husband, running like this? So she tried and catch him. She couldn't catch him. So he said, the only way you can catch me is that stuff in the bottle there. You also put some at the back. That's the only way you'll be able to catch me. So a person will also have to run like that. When you get caught like this, and then you want to leave the country, you want to commit suicide, you don't know what to do. And in most of these cases, unfortunately, when it has come to this late time, then a person realizes, I had gold in my house. Where I went and look for this S-word things? Where I went and look and where I went and get, Allah gave me gold in my house. What a woman haven't I got? How good isn't she? And then you see her beauty, and where I went and make my face black there. But then it is too late. So Allah has been so kind. He wanted his bandas not to be disgraced, not to be humiliated, not to have any problem. Stay with afiyat. Keep your strength, keep your mind clear, and you make your ibadah. This is where your enjoyment is. And just one or two incidents by which we can see, don't think that this is impossible. What taqwa Allah gave people. Yusuf alayhi salam's story is so famous. And from Yusuf alayhi salam's story, let us also take another very great lesson. Many of this false psychology of the West, they say if a child is abused, then he'll do the same thing in his later life. He will be affected because he was abused when he was small. Yusuf alayhi salam was the worst abused. Mm-hmm. What hatred and jealousy his brothers had for him. To this extent, they went and even kill him, to put him in the well. And the planning was to kill him, get rid of him. And it is clear that they didn't just do this out of the sky. How lot of hatred in every way they hated him, they disliked him. How he was abused. But see how he came out? If the child that is abused is, he would also take that revenge at least. But what he said, لا تَتْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. And how beautiful he said, Shaitan, he put it all on the shoulder of Shaitan. Shaitan caused you people, you are not like that, you are very good my brother. Shaitan is our enemy, he is the one who did this. So Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was how he, 100% he steered clear. And also another thing, that Allah has warned us that when even a honorable woman invites you, wife of Aziz was an honorable woman. And it comes in the hadith that one of the seven people who will be under the arsh of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, in the shade of the arsh of Allah, is not a street woman if she calls you or you pay for her. But it is that woman that is dhat mansabin, a woman of honor and position. Even if she has to invite you, then you just say, inni akhafullah. I fear Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And also, our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, when Hazrat visited reunion, the ulama of reunion told Hazrat that these Christian girls here, the local girls, they're always inviting us, making signs, winking eyes, making signs at us, calling us. So Hazrat said that why do they approach you? Because their men are out of stock. That they are so used that they are out of stock. And they know that you men are full in stock. Because you stay in taqwa, so you are full in stock. That is why they are making signs to you. So when they call you, then you tell them, Hazrat says, no please. And if they tell you why, then you say, khawf-e khuda. That because of the fear of Allah Ta'ala, I cannot even approach us. And don't stay away from a guna also, because of that you might be caught out or anything. And more than also of the fear of Allah, stay away from a guna in the love of Allah. Like Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, inna rabbi ahsana mathwai. That my master Aziz and Misr, he treats me so well. Now I must make khiyanat in his amanat, in his wife I must make khiyanat. He's so good to me. He treats me so well. So Allah who treats us so well, Allah who gave us this eyes as amanat, now you're using it in the khiyanat of Allah, in front of Allah, in Allah's disobedience. Which man can tolerate that his wife in front of him, she's having affair with somebody? But Allah, in front of Allah, we are going against Allah Ta'ala. So therefore, this is a very, very terrible crime, and we should try and stay away. And if a person makes the effort, wallah, I say, you will think to yourself that this is one guna I can never get rid of. It's impossible for me. But just stay one chilla by your sheikh. And inshallah, by that barakat, you'll see the nafrat, the hatred of that guna will come in your heart. A thing which you thought is impossible for me to give up, Allah will put the hatred of that guna in your heart. And on this, when you turn your eyes away, Allah gives you halawate iman. Allah gives you the certificate of jannat. What more do you want? Just on this, that Allah will give you the certificate of jannat. On this, two promises I can make to you. One is, your wife will appear to be the most beautiful woman in the world in your eyes. Allah will make it, if you safeguard your eyes from looking at other women. The other thing is, your sexual life will end. You'll see, you don't need any of the other tablets and all other things in order to improve yourself. You safeguard your eyes and you'll see how you will enjoy your sexual life with your wife also. Today many people, they say hardly 40 and impotent already. Because with our eyes we are making all this haram. And with our, in actual, how many people get involved also in all the haram. And the nahus said the evil effects of it, that a person, one man in Azadwal, now he has passed away. His wife passed away when he was about 80, she was also about that age. And then he was very keen to get married again. He approached me also, how many times, please see for somebody. And he told me, tell them, they don't think that I'm finished. They say, the day she passed away, she went and make Faraz ghusl. That is how, when she passed away, she had to go and make Faraz ghusl. And what he also told me, tell the woman that I haven't got a gas problem. Because most of the women worried of old men, too much gas problem. That they got too much gas. So tell them, I haven't even got no gas problem. But his wish wasn't fulfilled. Inshallah, Allah gives him his wife back, and she passed away before him. And the hurul in Allah give him. But anyway, if a person looks after his this part of his life, see how lot barakat and how lot of strength Allah will give, and then we use our strength in the right way. So that was one instance of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Maulana Siddiq Bandwi rahmatullah alayhi has written in his kitab, that once, about say roughly 100 years, 150 years ago in Delhi, when there wasn't Madrasa Darul Ulum as we have got it today with all the boarding facilities, all the ustads, there was one alim somewhere, a student would go to him and learn grammar, etc. After that he will go to another alim, learn hadith, to another alim and learn fiqh, like that, and they would travel places and places. Now we are weak. Allah has made it easy. All the ustads are in one place. And the students, there was nobody to sponsoring a student or somebody who would, the fees are paid, the students getting three meals, their laundry, washing is done, all the facilities, they have to see to everything. Many students would earn for 6 months and go and study for 6 months. Again earn for 6 months, again go and study for 6 months. So it was a hard way in order to gain knowledge. In that zamana, in Delhi, one student, in order to make his income, he took the job as an imam. And he was the imam in a masjid. And so one night, late at night, about say what we will call 1-2 o'clock at night, he was still studying his kitabs, making mutala. When suddenly there was a commotion outside. And suddenly one girl, young girl, came into the masjid. The riots broke out. At the moment again in India, riots make dua, Allah make hifazat of the Muslims. In the month of Ramadan, these enemies, they always try and interfere, make some problem. And there was this riot and this girl ran into the masjid. She saw doors were not like our doors. Those doors had a lot of crevices in them, where the two doors meet also, there were gaps. She saw light coming. She went to that door and she knocked, and then this door opened. And he was shocked to see this young and extremely beautiful girl, 1-2 o'clock at night, right by his room here. So he got a shock. He asked what? She said, riots outside. And I've got nowhere to go. And this is my only place. I have to stay in your... He says, impossible. How can you stay here? Besides, it is haram for a man and woman to be together. And while we are at that point, let us also understand, if you're a manager or whatever, you got your office in your business, wherever you got, and that today most of the doors electronically they lock. So if somebody has come in, the door locks again. And in such a case where somebody hasn't got access to come, it is haram to be with a strange woman, even if it's your secretary and she has come for work. If unfortunately you are having a secretary, when she comes, make sure the door stays open. Or if you're for security reasons, you can't do that, you go out and speak to her outside. But you be alone with her and nobody has access to come there without your permission. This is totally haram. Avoid it in a lift also. If you are in a lift and a woman comes in, you go out. Delay your work for 5-10 minutes. Don't ask her to go out, you go out. And if you are caught in there, the next floor you go out. Take the stairs, it's much more healthier also. Take the stairs. But to be alone with a woman anywhere, there is also totally haram. And how they have set up, how many of our youngsters are given offices where they're sitting the whole day with a young woman and they're doing their work, etc. And if you, again, yeah, if you say nothing happens to me, I don't know why this Maulvi so much, that I, the whole day, but I don't have any feeling, then you need to be checked up. If you don't get feeling when you're next to a woman, then there's something terribly wrong with you also. And you have to be checked up, your hormones are not in order. Have them checked out. So anyway, this young girl, he said, if the mutawallis come, the imam, the musallis come, what will happen? She said, but what must I do? My life is in danger. So then finally he conceded. He said, sit in one corner, cover yourself with your burqa, and he carried on with his kitab studying. As he carried on, and she sat there, and at that time it was like a candle, or the oil, the wig, the little lamp, with the wick coming out. So every now and then, he was putting his finger in the fire of that wick, and he carries on studying. Finally, in the morning now, everything got quiet. Now before Fajr time, he told her, please leave now. Now the musallis will start coming, and if they see a woman coming out of my room, what will happen to me? So she said, okay, but before I go, just tell me one thing, why were you putting your finger in that wick of the lamp every now and then? He said that, I'm a human being. I'm a man. I'm not a rock, or I'm not a stone. I'm not that other type that doesn't have any desire also. I'm a man, and you were here, and you at my mercy. I could have done what I wanted to with you. But every time that desire came, I put my finger in the wick, and I reminded myself, when you can't tolerate this little burn, the fire of Jahannam, which is 70 times, and that is to make us understand, worse than the worst fire of this dunya. And if you want to know some idea of a fire of this dunya, where gold is melted, just go there, and where you are watching it from a distance, you get the heat when they open the oven. So if you have to go into that fire, and the fire of Jahannam 70 times worse than the worst fire of this world. So he says, when I can't tolerate this little flame on this lamp, how will I tolerate the fire of Jahannam? She was so impressed when she went home. She told, and she was the daughter of a nawab, of a king. And she was already engaged to get married to a prince. And she was very beautiful also. She said, if I ever marry in my life, I'll marry that poor Maulisaf in that masjid. That was like what it was, more than 10 heart attacks to the parents. That this girl, she want to marry that poor Maulisaf. What is it? Then she explained, and she said, a man who has got taqwa like that, that is the type of man I need in my life. And they got married, and Allah gave so much barakat in their marriage. What great ulama and what great khuddam of deen and awliya Allah Ta'ala gave them from that marriage. So this is the taqwa that we have to have. Similarly, it is also of Dildi, that one student was going for his classes, also in the same, when they went all this arrangement like Darul Ulums. On his way, one woman was watching him, very handsome he was. And one day, with some excuse that she wants to ask a masala or something, she managed to get him into the house. And she bolted all, locked all the doors, just like Zulekha did, the wife of Egypt, she locked all the doors. So when he came inside and she got him in the bedroom now, and all the doors are locked, and she called him now, that you. So he said that, you want me to satisfy you? No problem, but let me relieve myself first. And those were not the days of flush system toilets. All the filth used to be gathered there, and the cleaner should come once or twice a day, rich people twice a day, and they should take all the filth away. So he said, I want to go to the toilet. He went, and there was this filth dirt there. With that, he rubbed it on his whole body. From head to toe, he rubbed it on his body. He came out. She said, there is a madman. Where I got this madman here? Chased him out from there. When he went out, then he went to the Ganga, Jamna, the rivers there, and he took a proper bath. He went to classes. When he went to his classes, the ustad suddenly said back, this wonderful, sweet smell, fragrance of Jannat, from where has it come? So he thought this ustad is being sarcastic, that the smell of that is still left over, and the ustad is being sarcastic and saying that this fragrance, but this is what smell, and his whole life that fragrance remained on his body. So if a person wants to save himself, he can save himself. No matter how a woman will want to call you and want to make you commit the worst guna, but if you want to save yourself, you can save yourself. And if you do this, if Allah gave this in this dunya, what won't Allah Ta'ala give in the akhirat? Therefore, a person must make this effort. And if a person makes this effort, and as our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, Sari alam mein akhtar ki yahi hai aahu fuga. In the whole world, this is my cry and plea to the people of the world. Chand roz khoon tamanna se khuda mil jaye. Just a few days that you have to slaughter your desires and you'll get Allah. And once Allah comes and halawat iman comes in the heart, lam yakhruj minhu abada. That sweetness of iman never goes out of the heart. It will remain there permanently. So a person who has got his own interest at heart, otherwise the world will say these are mad people's thoughts. This is the time in the world you just go like a mad man and you do what you want to, where you want to. And that is today a wise person, and he's a smart person, and he's a clever person that can do all this evil and filth and dirt. And a person who protects himself, he's a dumb person. He's a stupid person. He doesn't know what's happening. Your youth, they say, your youth is only, youth is for Allah gave you to test you. Use your youth. And the ibadat of the youth is the most valuable. And this is the time that youth really is not only 18, 19, till the age of 40 really. Till that time is the youth, and use it. And use it for Allah's ibadah. And if we protect ourselves from all these sins, see what great work of deen Allah will take from us. Otherwise today, what our youngsters, unfortunately, today if you are earning 40,000, 50,000 a month, then you are somebody. No, if you save yourself from guna, then you are somebody. And you save yourself from all this filth and dirt. Therefore, may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to protect us from this. And as I explained, in our zamana also, There are people, Maulana Hurmuzullah explained, from Bangladesh, he came to our country about perhaps 15 years ago. He never lifted his eyes up. We spent 40 days in our country in Jamaat from Bangladesh. He didn't see 1/3 of our country also. He just looked always down, till out of Quran. And at night, even at night, he wouldn't look out. And it's not haram to look out. You can look out. And if you happen to see a woman, you look down. But he was so careful, apprehensive, that my eyes mustn't fall on anyone, that he just kept his gazes. At night he would close his eyes and then zikr again. And I explained also that I personally sat with Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Hadraji in Newtown Masjid, which was only a minute or two, the most 2 minutes from the masjid. But immediately Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib took out Ma'ariful Quran and started reading it. He didn't look out anything what is. And we want to look all the time. You're seeing the same buildings again. And if you go to any other country also, what difference do you see? Are the trees different? Are the buildings different? Are the roads different? All the same. But if we learn to guard our gazes. And in years, our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says that Adam e qasd e nazar is not enough. That you don't have. Adam means no. Qasd, intention. Nazar, to look. You don't have the intention to look. That is not enough. That person will look. You must have qasd e adam e nazar. The intention not to look. Not you haven't got the intention to look, but you must have that. You must have the intention not to look. That is when a person will get saved. If your car is in neutral, somebody pushes it from the front or back, it's going to move in that direction. But if you have put it in gear, and you have put the brakes, and if there is a steep incline, you put even some rocks or bricks behind the wheels, that car now won't roll, inshallah. So if you make that firm intention in the morning, when you have 2 rakats of Ishraq, make this niyat also, that Ya Salatul Haja, Ya Allah, I'm not going to look, you help me, I must not look at all. That person will be able to get saved. Otherwise, a person will get involved. Hadrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says that in the train, if I'm traveling and at a railway station, it stops and there's another train on the side. I don't look in that on that side train. Because possibly it's the ladies' coach. In India, Pakistan, till today, they have a coach for the ladies. It's possible there is a lady sitting in that coach. It's possible she's beautiful. It's possible her love comes in my heart. And now I think of her all the time. One person wrote to Hazrat, Mahathanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he says, Hazrat, when there is a beautiful woman, you just looked and you took your eyes away. And I didn't look. I feel very heart sore. Because your heart wants to look. Allah put the desire in you. You want to say, I feel very heart sore. Then Hadrat wrote back to him and said, okay, you feel heart sore. You didn't look. You had the opportunity. Always you don't see such a beautiful woman. This one came and you could have seen her. And you didn't look. But if you would have looked, now that you didn't look, for how long was your heart sore? Calculate that. And if you had looked properly, you're still not going to get her in any case. Dekhna, sirf dekhna hai. You're not going to get her in any case. But now the thoughts, how long will they remain with you? He said, Hazrat, when I just looked and I looked away, that sorrow in my heart stayed for about 10 minutes. But when I looked properly for 72 hours, 3 days and 3 nights, the thoughts, and he was a pious person, an alim. He says, now in my tahajjud, her thoughts are coming. My duas where I should cry in tahajjud, now I'm not getting enjoyment. I'm thinking of her all the time. In my tilawat, I'm thinking of her. So Hazrat said, you make your own decision. Is it better to suffer for 10 minutes or for 72 hours? Don't look, and for a little while the thoughts will come. You are a human being. But now you didn't look, you saved yourself 10 minutes, 5 minutes, little bit of sorrow. But if you look, for minimum, if you didn't take a step further, 70, some people get involved in an affair, 6 months, 6 years, it goes, and what other problems they face again. How lot of financial constraints they have to go through. How lot in the society they have to suffer. And what things people, many homes, you wonder what is happening in this home. They look so, everything looks so rosy, but the man is involved with somebody else. And because of that, there are so much of strains in that family. How lot of problems. And I don't have to tell, you people know much more in society what is not happening. And many people who say, when we look at human, nothing happens to me. If nothing happens to me, what's all this happening in the world then? The whole world is on fire. And you want to, you're a farishta, nothing happens to you. Everything happens to every person. And when you say nothing happens to me, you are actually objecting to Allah's command. That, Ya Allah, you don't know me, I'm a farishta. That I look, nazar paak, dil saaf. Or dil paak, nazar saaf. That I look, but I never get any bad intentions. So, Ya Allah, why you gave me the command that I must look down? I don't have any desire. If you are a man, you have got this desire. If you are a woman, you have got this desire. It comes, Allah protected us, saved us from us. Don't play ostrich. And this is one great thing why my life is given for my share. That these gunas which normally everyone hides and nobody talks about it, and people get involved more and more in it, Hazrat addresses it head on. Because Hazrat says there is the epidemic of this zamana. This is the zamana when this is one of the major guna in the world. This is the guna. And good people also are all the time. And we all, I call you Haji Saab, you call me Mali Saab. Let's not talk of this guna. Just forget that. But we respect one another, we honor one another, and just sweep it under the carpet. Don't talk about this guna. This is a thing which destroys a person. May Allah Ta'ala help us, save us from this evil filth and dirt of this guna. The subject that we wanted to come on to then, there are only few days left, so little and so many important things to discuss. One very, very important thing is the zikr that we have to make. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says that وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا وَذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ. Allah ta'ala, many people, Arab ulama generally, so-called enlightened ulama of our areas also, of our environments also, they say zikr is bidat. Then let them translate this ayat of the Quran where Allah Ta'ala says, وَذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ. And they say, zikr means just to be conscious of Allah, that you don't commit any guna, what command is on the time. That is zikr. That is no doubt. It's also zikr. But zikre lisani, what the tongue zikr. What is zikr? In the tafsir of Mujaddid al-Fisani, rahmatullah alayh, tafsir al-Mazhari, he has said, what is zikr? Zikr means to repeat. That is what is zikr, to repeat. And how do you repeat? He gave an example also. That just like a hafiz boy till today also, when he wants to become hafiz, well, how does he become hafiz? He repeats those words. So a person, for example, wants to learn Sabbihisma Rabbikal A'la. So the child reads Sabbihisma, Sabbihisma, Sabbihisma. He's repeating. And naturally the child starts moving also. Sabbihisma, Sabbihisma, Sabbihisma. Maulana Abdul Mannan Saab, who was previously in Matliwala or in Kantaria, one of those madrasas in Bharuj, he said that people objected to him that why you people, when you make your children hafiz, you let them shake like this. Nobody forces them. The ustad doesn't tell him you must shake like that. It just happens naturally. You just start shaking. Everywhere in the world you'll see the hafiz class, the boys are shaking like this. They are learning. So he said, it's not necessary to shake. If you can make your child hafiz without him shaking, we won't say you're doing anything wrong. By all means, let him become hafiz without shaking. But the natural thing is you're going to shake. And he says, why must they read loudly? And there was some, Maulana Salim Saab, Qari Tayyab Saab, rahmatullah alayhi son, when we were studying, we should go and visit him. So he told us one day, some people told that you must make the children hafiz now in a new style. How? You must write the ayat on the board and let every student repeat it. And let this be like today in the schools, the classes, how? Like that, let them become hafiz. So he says, we don't have to experiment that. Our experiment has to be successful. And we see we get results in 2 years, 3 years, generally, all our children become hafiz. You have to experiment that. So if you want to experiment that the boy was just with eye reading, He must study how you study a book, etc., textbook, you study. What your eye reading you do and you study. If you want to make him hafiz like that, you go and experiment. If you can make him hafiz in 6 months, well and good. And if it takes you 60 years and he doesn't become hafiz, that's your problem. But have we got a proven method? Why must we change our method and why must we go and experiment on a new method? So our method that the boy becomes half is when he shakes. So this, when he shakes, Sabbihisma, Sabbihisma, Sabbihisma Rabbikal A'la, Sabbihisma Rabbikal A'la. We see he knows the whole surah in a little while. We see in the whole Quran Sharif, as Maulana Musa Sahib explained, Jazahum Allah Khair, that this is the miracle of the Quran if Allah opens our eyes. How a young boy can read Quran Sharif, he doesn't know the language. And a kitab, a book of 850 pages more or less, 30 suparas, and he's not even an Arab boy. He's an Indian boy. He's a Gujarati boy. He's a Mamun boy. He's a Cockney boy. He's a black boy. And he can learn, and he can read the Quran. If this is not the miracle of the Quran, it's not his miracle. It's the miracle of the Quran. If it's his miracle, let him go and learn another book, 1/10 the size. He can't do it. There is the miracle of the Quran, and this is Allah Ta'ala's rahmat upon the ummah, that the ummah can do this. So automatically when you repeat, you're going to shake. So, and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that is logically also, physically it is. The Sahaba, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Kandilvi rahmatullahi alayhi, in Hayatul Sahaba has quoted a hadith, quoted the incident of the Sahaba when they used to make zikr, they used to shake like the tree tops in a, like the trees on a windy day. How the tree moves like that. It's in the first volume of Hayatul Sahaba, page 15. That how the trees move on a windy day, like that they should also move. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala in Hayatul Sahaba, another one, Yamilu Kama Tamilu Shajar. He used to move, how a tree used to shake like this. So the zikr that we move like this is exactly the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum zikr. It isn't anything new. So zikr means to repeat. Now what must you repeat? Yeah, in this ayat, it is nowhere more clearer. Clear. Wadhkur ismi rabbi. The name of your Rabb. Repeat the name of your Rabb. And what is the name of your Rabb? Allah. So repeat Allah, Allah. Allah, Allah, Allah. And Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali briefly has written, which was read out here also in with regard to the Quran Sharif, Fazail al-Quran, that your one aspect of your brains, when you repeat, how it retains it and how it memorizes it. So how long must you take Allah Ta'ala's name? So much that you don't forget Allah's name. Like that we think we won't forget Allah's name. But when a person, for example, a person puts a gun to your head, at that time you should have made Allah's zikr previously so much already. At that time also you remain at ease. And you remember Allah Ta'ala. And that when you remember Allah, this is Ism-e-Azam. To take Allah's name in such a way, when your ship is sinking, you are drowning, at that time you say, Allah. But in such a way that Allah's presence is there with you. See how Allah will save you even then. When the gun is at your head, when you are overtaking or somebody else, you driving properly on your lane, somebody came on your side, right in front of you. But if you have that, remember Allah, Hasbun Allah. Then see how Allah Ta'ala will save you. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says that there were two or three alims going in a train, in a car. And there is not very long, very recently in Karachi. A bus came on the opposite, on the right in front of them. And this person, this one alim, was completely saved. Nothing happened. So, and the Hazrat says, if you see that car, it is not even a sardine tin, completely flat. Impossible that somebody could have been saved. His Hazrat's friend, Hazrat asked him, how did you get saved? He said, all I felt were two cold, solid, strong arms holding me and took me and put me outside. Well, the farishtas will come and help you. But when you have that connection with Allah Ta'ala, so this connection with Allah Ta'ala, we have to take Allah's name so much that no matter what, you see the crooks coming in with their guns and your mind goes straight, more than it goes to the panic button. And more it goes than by making an emergency call, it goes to the very top. Your panic button goes right on top to Allah Ta'ala. First there, your mind. Sabab, use it. Make a phone call. Use whatever. But your heart is connected there. That, oh Allah, only you can protect me. Only you can save me. Nobody else can save me. This situation we can understand. In the same way, we have to take Allah's name so much that a beautiful woman comes in front. Immediately, Allah, you are watching me. Allah, your command is I must not say. And you cast your gazes low. Now as we understand, if a gun is put to our head, like that, understand, when any haram, any undesirable thing, I must safeguard my gazes. In that way we have to repeat Allah's name. And for so long we must make zikr. That we can, we have learned when we were becoming Hafiz in Mias Farm by Hafiz Abdul Rahman Miasab, Rahmatullah Alayh, Jazahumullah Khair, then when we should make Taraweeh and some mistakes we should make, then he should hit us also, should get angry also, ask why, say we got excited. He say, if you got excited, you should have made, Hafiz is here, we were together, Hafiz Rahman. He's laughing also because he knows how what we should go through there in Mias Farm. So anyway, then Hafiz Sahib should say, if you got excited, you should have made mistake in Surah Fatiha also. In Alhamdulillah Sharif, why didn't you make a mistake there? Because you know it so well. Because you repeated it so much. And it is called the surah that is oft repeated. That is repeated so much, the surah. Therefore you don't make a mistake there. But that other which you didn't learn your door so properly, you haven't repeated it so well, there you make a mistake. So we have to make Allah zikr so much that if somebody puts a gun, a car comes right in front of you, bright lights, your eyes are dazzled, you don't go blank. Today, we go blank. Anything, if not anything else, otherwise we'll cry for our nanima, or dadima at that time. Nanima is not going to come and help you. A small child, a dog barks, nanima, nani, nani. Nani is not going to come and help you. Daddy is not going to help you if you can think of Allah. And how many of our friends have said the open miracle of Hamim La Yun Sarun they have seen. It was such a situation that it was finished, the end. But Allah brought on the tongue, Hamim La Yun Sarun, and how Allah Ta'ala has helped it. But to remember Allah, and also remember, to remember Allah. If you never remembered Allah, at that time you won't remember Allah. If you are remembering Allah all the time, and so much, that even when you sleep, Ya Allah, who gave me this exhaustion now? You gave me this. And as you are falling to sleep, there is one thing which man can never fix, pinpoint, that at which moment he fell asleep. He can't pinpoint that. But as it's coming to sleep, and you are enjoying now, you are lying down, you are cuddling yourself, it's raining outside, the wind is blowing, and you have pulled your blankets over you, who gives you all that namat? Ya Allah. You are making Allah shukr, and you are sleeping, that whole sleep of yours has become a top great ibadat now. And when you wake up now fresh, your mind was not working at all when at night you didn't even want to answer a question, you didn't want to do anything. Now when you woke up fresh, Ya Allah, who is it who gave me this again? Who made me so fresh again and kept me so well? So much of Allah's zikr. When the food comes, Ya Allah, who gave me this food? And when your wife puts that food, and at that point let us remember another thing. Hey, many people today, when a girl doesn't go to school, she leaves school early, she works at home. What the teacher also says, she's going to become a maid, maid of the house. So when she becomes an air hostess, then she's a maid for all other people. There is no problem with that when she's a maid for other people. But when she works with dignity and honor in the house and she gets the sawab of jihad for working in the house, now she's a maid. And when she goes out to work, don't think she makes money also. All whatever, that little extra, all gets cut off for this, for that. One of our friends said, when you see how much they cut off, you feel like crying. Now this tax, now that insurance, now this, finally what you are left with, you are crying. Many people, so and so earning so much. Ask him, how much does he come home with? And then ask him, that does he have three meals at lunch? And he have three meals at supper. He wears five shirts, and he wears two suits. You're living the same, nothing different from anyone else. All the same you are doing. So that woman, even if she's earning so much, how much they cut off. Finally, what she comes with, now her lifestyle, she has to dress like an air hostess all the time. She has to live like that. Her cosmetics, how much? All that, how much she's spending? Finally, what is she left with? Many times I analyze it, there isn't time to go. But a woman who stays at home, what a woman does, at home once, one girl who was studying became Hafiza at home. She came and visit again home. So one day she told the family, she told Appa, that my friends, she doesn't keep a maid, she manages, she hardly had only one or two children at that time, or she hardly had. She said, I manage, but my friends tell me that I must keep a maid. So I said, but then what will I do? She said, then you must watch TV. You must keep a maid, and then you must watch TV. The women are gone to the ark, they are gone here, they are do the housework. For women's disease, woman's problem, health problem, the greatest solution is she must do housework. But today we don't do the housework. Now you're on the hack. Now you're running on the roads, walking on the roads. You just do housework. That is more than enough for a woman. For men, it is more than enough walk to the masjid. If security allows and the masjid is at a... And masjids must be at a distance that is walking distance for everyone. Every little area should have a masjid. Jami Masjid is a big masjid. Juma all go there. But every day, five times a day, your masjid, there must be so many masjids that are walking distance. 3 minutes, 5 minutes walk, and walk to the masjid. The greatness of Islam is shown, how the people are going, coming from the masjid. And at the same time, your health is also protected. And the less the cars, the less the fumes on the road. The fumes, the poor people who walk also, they have to inhale all this. Once we went with our sheikh to Robinson Lake, to the lake. And one bucky passed the after Fajr, and it went to quite a distance. Then Hazrat turned around and said, aren't you still getting the fumes of that car? The rings were gone or whatever, it was burning oil. For how long and how unhealthy is this? And go to a city now, not so much, but Karachi at one time. Oh, you only smell this fumes all the time. How unhealthy is all this? So if all of us, generally we walk, we give the cars a rest. When you need the car, use it. Car ne logo ko bekar kar diya. The cars have made people useless now. Haji Ahmed Lambat, Maulana Abdul Rahman's uncle, he told Mufti Mahmood Saab, we South Africans are so spoiled. If we could help it, we should go toilet also in the car. We should go to the toilet also, we should go in our car. Any small little distance, anything, car. If we can get used to walking, it will do us so much of good. So anyway, the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, we will carry on, is very, very, most of our satis, they make for a few days, we don't make zikr properly. We don't make it regularly. Then we say that we're not getting any benefit. Zikr is a life wire. When you with your sheikh, he is present. In the absence of the sheikh, the zikr is your heater. It is the thing that is going to keep you going. But we only make it when we feel like, when we enjoy it, when we're in the mood. Otherwise we don't make, then we say we're not getting benefit from zikr. In the morning, yeah, we make zikr. How many of our satis sleeping in the zikr? How can you benefit from zikr like that? You all the time, you're sleeping in the zikr. You have to do it with concentration and ashiqana, with love you have to make zikr. Then you get the benefit of zikr. May Allah give us all tawfiq.